Well, good morning. Let's call this session of the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner to order. It's April 14th, 2016. And we're here today because there's a proposal by the Kitsap County Public Works Department to replace and improve pump stations 45, 46, 47 within the shoreline jurisdiction. So the applications are for shoreline substantial development permit and shoreline conditional use permit. The purpose of this open record hearing is for me to gain information from the applicant, from the professional staff of the county, and from anyone else that has questions or comments or concerns about these applications. I'm Ted Hunter, who's the hearing officer that has been chosen by your Board of Commissioners to hear and decide certain applications and appeals. Shoreline applications are one of those that the commissioners has by ordinance given to the hearing examiner to hear and decide. In the case of a shoreline conditional use permit, the Department of Ecology has the ultimate review of it. The shoreline substantial development permit also is provided to Ecology, and Ecology may object or may hold or may additionally condition those permits as they move through the state system. Both of those are heard under the auspices of the State Code, Chapter 9058, the Shoreline Management Act. It was passed a number of years ago, 1971, in response to a public initiative to protect the shorelines of the state. This county has recently updated its Shoreline Master Program, and under that program reviewed these applications, as well under the State Environmental Policy Act, which is found in Chapter 4321C. Of the revised Code of Washington. We're fortunate to have with us today a professional staff person with some years of experience with the county who is knowledgeable about both the Environmental Policy Act and the Shoreline Management Act. I think we'll begin with Mr. Heacock, if you're prepared to give your recommendation, and then we'll take additional information from the applicant representative and then see if anyone else has questions, comments, or concerns. This is the only opportunity to bring information forward. The decision I make is based only on the record that's presented in this hearing room today. The record consists of documents that are submitted. I have exhibits 1 through 19 that I've marked and are now admitting into this record. It includes the application, copies of the environmental review, several comments from residents in the areas addressing some concerns, and I've asked Mr. Heacock to give us an update on those concerns and how they might been resolved, or if they are resolved. And then we also have copies of the notice of this hearing today, and based on that certificate of notice that Constance Blackburn has certified, proper notice was given, I can find that yes, this hearing can proceed, reasonable notice provided, consistent with the county ordinances. So we are now convening hearing, turning to Mr. Heacock, and we ask when you do present information that you do so under oath or affirmation. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
If you please raise your hand, you swear to tell truth and testimony you give today.
I do.
Thank you. And you are the staff person that conducted the review of this application.
I am indeed. My name is Steve Heacock. I'm senior planner, environmental planner with the Department of Community Development. A couple of items for housekeeping. We have just one more additional item of correspondence with the project manager, Barbara Zaroff, which is an email that we've talked about. I'll discuss that. So just a very minor little change regarding some of the armoring on the shoreline. So we'll provide that here.
This is an additional exhibit?
Yes.
And we'll mark that as exhibit 20, I believe. Mm-hmm. Have that brought forward. Thank you.
And then we have a quick little PowerPoint that should really kind of discuss and be a groundwork, if you will, for this hearing.
And there's a number of
slides
there.
About 11 slides, I believe.
11 slides, yeah. Thank you. We'll mark that as Exhibit 20 and have that also admitted into this record today.
Excellent. See here real quick.
Exhibit 21. Thank you for PowerPoint.
All right. Again, this is a hearing regarding a retrofit of existing pump stations in the Manchester area. The project extent, and here generally located from East Caraway Street, which is the northern extent of the project, down to Hemlock Street. It's roughly 3,500 feet, as I understand, lineal feet of a shoreline conditional use permit and shoreline substantial development. The conditional use permit is strictly regarding additional armoring that is required to protect those facilities. They are critical public facilities, and so those will be armored additionally. There is, however, an extensive amount of restoration that is going on with this project as well. So when we analyze for the shoreline, for our new shoreline management plan, our mantra is no net loss. And indeed, we will have no net loss, and in fact, we will have a net gain of the shoreline environment. And there is a very extensive technical memorandum that Public Works hired a firm called Landau Associates. They provided a technical memorandum that went through the entire new shoreline master plan with Kitsap County and addressed all of the items and all of the concerns related to both the shoreline conditional use permit and the shoreline substantial development. So all of those items that are referenced in the staff report in great detail are provided in that technical memorandum. They did an excellent job in that analysis.
Is this what you advanced to us as Exhibit 7?
Yes, Exhibit 7, okay. Correct, yes.
Is this one of the first conditional use permits then that has gone through?
This is the first conditional use permit that we've processed through the new Shoreline Master Plan update. That update occurred in December 24th of 2014. So this is the first substantial project that we have processed through the new SMP update.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for setting kind of the playing field of the scope of this application. I noted, too, there is a document submittal about a waiver. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. So the waiver, there's a waiver relating to the need for a macro invertebrate or a macro algal and eelgrass survey. And in this particular case, the biologist for the project did a survey up and down the whole reach. Much of the project is really sub beach, if you will. It's the pipeline underneath the beach. There will be no real excavation in any of the pipe areas. Mm-hmm. So the eelgrass survey that is typically required in an application like this was analyzed by the biologist and found, relating to where the actual site work will occur, there was no eelgrass. In fact, it's a rather rocky sandy shore that just really can't support the eelgrass. And so we did waive that requirement at the applicant's request.
Okay, so waiver both because of the nature of the project, which is, I guess you said, sub beach or
yes,
subterranean,
right,
and also because there just isn't any eelgrass in the area.
Yes, correct.
So kind of two reasons.
And then they verified that with the Fish and Wildlife Department, Fish and Wildlife, as well. So there was extensive pre-work done with this particular application. And in fact, an awful lot of public outreach had occurred too by Public Works. They did a very excellent job of talking to individuals, trying to sort out any kind of public concern that people may have. Again, we had additional letters that I'll get into here in just a sec.
And before you do that, one other scope of the project. You just mentioned fish and wildlife, and I think there's indication in your staff report that there is a hydraulic permit application,
yes,
perhaps submitted as part of the,
yes,
joint aquatic resource,
yes,
submittal. Mm-hmm. Do you know the status of that?
I don't, but I bet you that the project applicant can discuss that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as the professional planner that reviewed it, though, I'm curious, is that often those come with many conditions when they are approved. Is that something you took into account when you conducted your review of these applications?
Absolutely, yes. And so what we typically do in one of our conditions, in fact, several of the conditions, is discuss that there may be additional mitigation requirements based on review by the Department of Fish and Wildlife, or really, for that matter, any other agency that may be involved. So that can happen, and we do condition the permit that they need to follow the hydraulic project approval. Obviously, for the project to happen, they need an HPA. We call the hydraulic project approval for that to go forward to advance.
And that's my final question about the scope. Are there any other permits that might be needed besides
there,
the ones?
There really are not. There are very minor building permits that are required for the moved lift stations. There will be no site development activity permit required, as the majority of this work will be all within a public right-of-way. It will also be within easements that Public Works has secured for that work. And so the extent of grading, if you will, is very minimal. It will really be more so for the restorative actions in the shoreline area itself.
So the grading is below any threshold that would trigger that type of
grading. Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So as I discussed earlier, we do have a full analysis that we examined very thoroughly, conducted a examination of all the documents, the geotechnical report, is also an aspect where we look at that very closely in relation to the armoring proposals as part of the shoreline conditional use permit. And the geotech report is the basis for the support that there really is no other alternative relating to the minor armoring that needs to happen for this project to be safe. We have personnel that access the manholes that many will remain in the project area, and those manholes, really we want those personnel to be safe, and so the safety aspect and that's this additional armoring that's required, which will be mitigated for, is definitely needed, and it was analyzed by the geotechnical report, Landau's report. So it does support that as well. Further in the analysis, we have the information from, excuse me just a sec here. The letters from the neighbors, we had three separate items of correspondence. Let's see where I have that. One was from a Mr. Kimball, who is a nearby resident. He walks the beaches every day. He was very concerned when he saw that what he thought of the beach line that's going to be restored was very pleased to hear that it was all going to be done with a new technology. And I'd like the applicant's representative to discuss that technology. It is absolutely fascinating. That
what's it called?
It's a SIP, which is basically a pipe liner that is placed into the existing pipe itself, And then there's a technology that bonds the pipe liner into the interior wall of the pipe and provides an additional life to the pipe itself. And it's absolutely fascinating technology. I think it might be really interesting to just have a little bit more detail about that, because it was something a little above me to really fully understand what was going on with it. But
and that mitigates, or does it completely replace the need for any excavation?
Well, the only excavation will be those lift stations that, need to come out and be moved for the safety purposes, right?
Okay. So Mr. Kimball's concerns about excavation were addressed by saying there will be.
There really will be no, and he was very pleased to hear that we're not digging up 3,500 feet of beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that
there were some other public concerns, too,
yes.
I think I saw in the exhibit.
Yes. There was also then another concern from a landowner on East Daniels, and it was in relation to an existing stormwater pipe that is actually in the right-of-way underneath East Daniels Loop. And that particular pipe was from a private drainage that's on his property. So we connected them immediately with the Clean Water Kitsap folks, which are another branch of Public Works. They're not with solid waste, but they are responsible for stormwater controls. And so that the individuals from Clean Water Kitsap, there was quite a lot of a back and forth, and we did provide that in the record as well, of all the correspondence between Dr. Chris May, who's the lead of the department of Clean Water Kitsap, and then this individual. And we discussed at length potential fixes for that particular private facility.
So the proposed project is for what we might call black water or sewage. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
And this individual on East Daniels concerned about stormwater.
Yes.
Isn't it typical to combine them as combined sewer overflow?
Well, it is typically. However, because this private drainage, as we discovered, was never done by County Public Works and never correctly permitted in the right-of-way itself, as I understand, that there was really no way to co-join these projects at this time.
Yeah. So not only is it inappropriate because of the private, unpermitted nature of the facility, but also isn't there a move away from the combination of stormwater with sewer water because of the contamination that off here
occurs? Oh, that's definitely the case, right. Okay. And I think that the concern was, wouldn't there be a way to reconvey this existing stormwater through a separate pipe out onto the beach?
I see.
And the analysis that would be required to do that in conjunction with this project, plus the fact that it's water from a private landowner and a private facility, would really be gifting, you know, of public funds as well, and just really could not be a part of this project. As I understand, and in talking with the project applicant, the financing for this particular retrofit is really only for the sewage treatment plant update. And in fact, the project applicant has told me that there is a $3.8 million loan that is from the Department of Ecology to do this particular project. So it's a significant project, and adding a component of drainage as at this late hour was not possible to deal with.
Are you also saying the county does not have the responsibility to help manage private stormwater concerns?
Well, I will also relay that in the correspondence and talking to the field person, Mr. Chuck Smiley, and at the direction of the Public Works, that division's director, Dr. Chris May, they are going to work something out with this particular landowner. They did say, we will try to assist you. We'll try to figure out some way to retrofit your project. And I think at this point, I did talk to the individual again here just last week. He came in and we did discuss that as well. And I assured him that, you know, I've worked with these individuals in the past and they, you know, if they say they're going to try to assist, they will do so.
Okay. So the point being here today, this stormwater concern is not part of what we're reviewing today. Mm-hmm. It's inappropriate to do so because it is a sewage project.
Yes.
We don't want to combine stormwater with sewer water.
Yes.
As was done in the past.
Correct.
And secondly, it's a private system that typically the county would not take responsibility. Maybe there is some here and mm-hmm. oversight or assistance, but that's not of concern for us today.
Correct.
Wherever the county steps in to do stormwater is a separate topic
mm-hmm.
that probably could lead to a long discussion
yes.
of county responsibility or
yes.
not.
Right.
But in any event, because of what you expressed about this system, we're not looking at that today.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. And then thirdly, we have another landowner who was, I think, involved in some of the earlier meetings and was interested in the appearance of the new sewage treatment plant, the new lift stations. These lift stations will be located in the right-of-way outside of the shoreline area and in the public right-of-way. But he had some concerns about the appearance, wondered if there was some way. And I think I've seen some renderings, some artist renderings of that appearance. I don't believe I think we have some of those photos in the record, I believe. I do know that the design will be, will have a bit of a component of aesthetics, if you will.
Is that something that's nice in your new Shoreline Master Program? Now, let me understand you. I mm-hmm. think you said these lift stations themselves would be outside
mm-hmm.
the shoreline jurisdiction of 200 feet, correct?
No, they will be in the jurisdiction.
In the jurisdiction.
Right.
And, of course, the upland area under Section 340
yes.
of 9058
yes.
needs to be consistent in
yes.
any regard.
Yes.
So if they're in the shoreline jurisdiction and in the right-of-way as well?
In the right-of-way, correct.
Okay. Is there anything in your Shoreline Master Program adopted in December 2014 that addresses the need for aesthetic concerns?
No, there isn't. There's really no discussion about aesthetics for buildings or things like that. That's really more of a private matter. I do understand, though, in discussions with the applicant that there is a design effort that, you know, it's not just going to be a concrete, you know, type of structure. There will be efforts to make it look reasonable.
Right. So this would be something is done voluntarily by an applicant, not anything that you, as staff reviewing it, could see where you would condition for compliance because of a requirement in the code.
Yes.
It might be beneficial for the neighborhood. It might be something mm-hmm. someone desires. Applicant may choose to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not recommending that there be any specific condition regarding aesthetics.
No.
And that's good, because if we get into design elements in that level, that's a very subjective area, I would say.
Yes, okay. For sure.
So you're not recommending anything on aesthetics. But the applicant may reference some artist renderings, so we have some idea.
And I believe that information is available. I think there are some renderings that I did see at some point in the review, but it wasn't a criteria that we were going to lock into in relation to the shoreline permits.
Never have I seen a lift station as pretty as a tree, but it is a consideration that
you're
bringing forward.
Yes.
In response to the neighbor concern.
Right. And there will be landscaping that will be incorporated as mm-hmm. well, as I understand.
Mentioned the mitigation plan, or restoration
plan
to mitigate for any impacts.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of this Exhibit 7 as well, is it?
That's discussed in detail in Exhibit mm-hmm. 7. All of the mitigation components, all of the analysis, if you will, is all incorporated into that technical memorandum, Exhibit 7.
So that's very address detailed. This individual's concerns yeah. as well. Then.
Yes.
So you describe then the surrounding neighborhood concerns, mm-hmm. public concerns, as it were, about the proposal.
Yes.
And did you see any need for modification because of these concerns?
No, not at this time. No. There's no need for it. It's fully addressed, again, in that technical memorandum, and then in the analysis that we had performed too, and within the staff report.
Okay. Well, let's find out. Let's take a pause here for a moment. Is there anyone present here today that Mr. Heacock just referenced as one of those that commented, or anyone else that's not from county staff that might have comments about this proposal? There is an individual here. Were you one that wrote to the uh-huh. county? Okay. And we'll ask you to come forward if you'd like, but right now I want to see if, mm-hmm. if you understand what Mr. Heacock said in response to your comments and whether they are satisfactory to you at this point. Okay, good. Then we'll make sure you have an opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave that section of the record open so that we can see where we are in the public response.
Excellent.
Comment. Okay.
Very good.
So what other elements of the project then did you review? Are you moving forward then with your PowerPoint?
Let's go ahead with the PowerPoint. Let's just check out here really the details. Here's the site location. We have the zoning areas, Manchester Village, low residential. It's a density issue. This is part of the Lammerd, called the Lammerd, which is a limited area for more intense rural development, Lammerd. And let's see, where Manchester Village commercial is a little core here outside of the shoreline. Manchester Village Residential is the yellow area. The project here is Hemlock Street right here. So the lift station will be located within the public right-of-way here. The other project is on East Daniels Loop. Here's East Daniels Loop right here within that Manchester Village. And then East Caraway. Yeah, I think it's right here on this, just the northernmost point of the property.
So within three different zoning areas?
Yes, yes. Well, two zoning areas.
Two zoning areas.
Yes. Here's an environmental map. We do have a flood zone within this as well. It was part of the analysis was discussing flood proofing, and also the fact that the new facilities will be located outside the flood zone, which is very good. We do have bald eagles nests in the area, but they will not be impacted on the with the construction season, as I understand the construction season. The timing related to that will be mitigated for in the work zone, in the allowed work zone, without need for any additional permits with that, with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And we'll move on to the shoreline designation for this area, of course, is Urban Conservancy, and then the typical rural zone for shoreline residential to the north. So the majority of the project will be within this Urban Conservancy zone. And that was, again, analyzed. Here we have an aerial photo, and I've just pointed out the lift stations here. The East Caraway lift station is pump station 46. Pump station 45 is located off of East Daniels Loop. Oh, I think it's actually right here. And then the pump station on, pump station on Hemlock is pump station 47. And then here's the aerial photographs. This is Pump Station 46's Associated Department of Ecology ortho photos, which are quite nice to have that detail. And then we can reference the specifics on the projects here in a bit. But that's Pump Station 46's site off here. This is East Hemlock, which is the southernmost extent, Pump Station 47. There is a small stream. You can't really see it too well. There's an existing pipeline that goes across the stream. That is part of the analysis as well, and that will be fully mitigated, and the timing of that, you know, in relation to fishery aspects and that type of thing will be fully addressed as well in the mitigation plan. And then lastly, the pump station at East Daniels. This is the telemetry tower here, and then this zone right in here will be addressed. We do have designs as well. These are the designs. I thought I'd provide these for the applicant's representative to discuss the details of the project as that might come up. This is Pump Station 46. This is Pump Station 45. And that's it. So just for talking purposes with the applicant's representative, I thought we'd provide these. I do have additional photographs, site photographs, that may help us as well, understanding the rest of the project. Mm-hmm. But at this time, I really can summarize and say we really feel we fully analyzed all the aspects of this project, and with the conditions that we've provided, do recommend approval for the shoreline conditional use and shoreline substantial development permit.
Well, thank you, Mr. Heacock. And about the conditions, you recommended those within your staff report.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the differentiation between the substantial development permit and the conditional use permit? Are these conditions recommended for both permits?
Yes, correct. We do. We do like to analyze the project as one project when we're talking about shoreline permits. So the armoring aspect is all addressed in the shoreline conditional use permit. Everything else about the project, the new location of the new lift stations and the revised locations, the pipe work, the under beach pipe work, all those aspects are all addressed in the shoreline substantial development permit.
So you have a separate list of criteria
for
each permit.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that the armoring is the only aspect that's conditional use permit? So you looked at that as a separate component then to see if it introduced any additional concerns?
Right, and that the mitigation itself, the mitigation that is proposed for the entire project is all a component of the shoreline conditional use permit.
So how do you see it moving forward to ecology then?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be a decision I make with two conclusions, one on the SSDP and one on the SCUP?
Well, since a shoreline conditional use permit does require the approval, a specific approval from the Department of Ecology, I would suggest that both projects together, they are hand in hand. And they are dependent upon each other. The armoring is absolutely necessary for the safety of the employees that will be here working on these properties, and as well as safety of the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
The revised facilities also are dependent upon the shoreline armoring component.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, in some instances with land use permits, we look at what might be called the more intent scrutiny permit as the one, and then any others under that mm-hmm. are really subsumed by the larger or more intense review permit.
Yes.
So here it's the SCUP that has a more vigorous review.
That's right.
And you would like to see really one decision
yeah.
that embraces both sets of criteria.
Yes. Okay. I think that's appropriate.
Okay, yeah. Because the point being that you don't have an individual approval. If the SSDP is approved, it goes nowhere without SCUP and vice
correct.
Versa.
That's right.
Okay, so yes. one decision. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, this time it might be good to have the applicant's rep come up and talk about any specific detail.
I do want to get that. I do have, though, an individual here that
yes.
you referenced response to, and I'd like him to come forward first, and then
that sounds good.
You can respond, and then applicant as
sure.
well. So let's make sure we get that on the record.
Okay, great.
Thank you for
thank
your
you.
Presentation today. Good morning, sir. Would you like to come forward and you heard Mr. Heacock respond to concerns that you raised. We'll see where we are on that. Good morning to you. I'll ask you to take the oath. Do you swear to tell truth in testimony you give today?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And your name, please.
My name's Jerry Clark, and I live down there on the beach. I've lived there for quite a few years. My
Did you provide a written comment?
Yes,
well?
I did.
Okay.
And
maybe the handwritten comment?
Yes.
I got it.
That was me.
Thank you.
And the only thing that I'm addressing in relation to the appearance of the tanks and such, I agree with you, no lift tank as pretty as a tree, but there are some beautiful concrete projects out there, and there's some new ones, you know, that are real recent, mm-hmm. even right there in Manchester. One good example, I think, is the public restroom down there that the port has put in.
Mm-hmm.
There were choices that were made on that and they were all the way from these square, ugly tanks, round, ugly tank-looking mm-hmm. things with doors in them, and they chose to put that one down there based on where it is, where it's located, you know, down there in the proximity of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Only a few feet from this new tank that's going in down there.
Okay. Well, is your suggestion maybe something
I don't have
similar?
A suggestion. I'm okay. I think we're all victims of procession of this kind of designs and stuff that have gone on for just basically forever from the beginning. Mm-hmm. There's no difference in these tanks. If you could probably go back 200 years, there's no difference in how these tanks look. And I spend time in Seattle a lot. I've been go to Edmonds, and I'm down in Des Moines quite a bit. And Des Moines really looks like Manchester. Des Moines, down there where the port is down there, if you've mm-hmm. ever been down there,
mm-hmm.
that used to look exactly like Manchester. So I think going forward, you can see what Manchester is going to end up like, particularly since this new Harper Estuary down there seems to be being set aside and being declared non-developable there. Manchester is going to be the focus of that down there now, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And growth, whether we like it or not, it doesn't have a whole lot of area to cover
mm-hmm.
and to go in. I think this tank that they're putting in there now, one thing is, it might be there for 100 years easily, maybe mm-hmm. 200 years. And as the facility that the port has down there is developed and grows, and it's going to have to, I think this tank could easily maybe just beyond our lifetimes, be right in the middle of that development down there, for the public.
Yeah.
And also, the new waterfront park they got down there is a good example of what they've done with some concrete molds.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they've made quite an effort there to make that attractive, and I think they've done a good job on it. Lastly, and stretching a little bit, is the Manchester Treatment Plant itself down there. That's a beautiful-looking facility. It's hard to identify that as a sewage treatment facility. If they put a sign, if they put a couple of fish in the place, they could put a thing out in front and say, it has something to do with a hatchery. That's a beautiful facility. By the way, I live right next door to it.
Okay.
And I don't know what can be done. As Mr. Steve mentioned there, there was nothing even prior to them, they're starting at the beginning, and there's nothing before them that really says where there's a precedent for it. And I've gotten on the internet and looked for it. I can't find anything relating to these kind of utility tanks you know, that has any artistic design in them. Mm-hmm. But when you go just outside of that, other forms of these concrete molds, there's tons of examples of it. Yeah. Maybe it's beyond. Maybe the project's too far along. Maybe it's just something. But also, I have a manhole in front of my property, and they, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I'm confused about actually what they're going to do with that manhole. But even the manhole sits out there on the beach, totally exposed. It sticks up, and it would be nice if there would be something they could do to that to enhance the appearance of that. Even I don't know what they could do with it. But what it looks like now is a sewage tank, as well most of these other molded square round tanks or whatever, you know, that don't incorporate some kind of artistic, aesthetic to them.
Good. Well, yeah, I appreciate you bringing forward some creative concepts that can be addressed at this time. But if they're not, then it's in place for many years without the.
Yes, and that's where I want to speak up. Maybe it's too late on this project.
We're going to find out from the applicant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wondered, though, about Mr. Heacock mentioned a lot of landscaping, and if you had a chance to look at that proposal of how there might be some aesthetic mitigation of any tank.
I've looked at a lot of their stuff, and I've been to their presentation and everything, and I'm impressed with the engineers that, you know, their presentation. Mm-hmm. And with the county, everything that I've, you know, seen from the county there. And I think everybody's making, a heartfelt effort, you know, to make these as attractive as they can.
Okay, so. Good. Well, thank you for bringing that forward. And let's hear from the applicant then about that and any other topics. Who's here to speak for the applicant today? Would you please come forward then? Have you take the oath first once you're settled there. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell truth and testimony you give today?
I do.
Thank you. And your name, please?
Barbara Zaroff.
And what's your role with the county?
I am the project manager for this project for the sewer utility.
Mm-hmm. And your background, please?
I've been the capital project engineer with the sewer utility since 1997. Prior to that, I was in consulting engineering for a number of years. I'm a professional engineer, licensed as a civil engineer.
Okay. So let's start with the comment we heard from Mr. Clark, if you might, about any attention. As part of the project manager, I'm sure you had a team that was involved in design. And is it customary for Public Works to have design considerations or a team member that has any aesthetic background or concern that might help in the design?
Yes, of course. I mean, we understand completely the concerns of the homeowners along the beach here that they have a nice view and don't want to have to look at an ugly industrial installation.
Well, maybe it's not ugly. I mean, that's a matter.
In the eyes of the homeowner.
Exactly. So, but your response to my question is yes, it is something you considered.
Yes.
As you prepare design work for submittal and approval.
So, right off the bat during preliminary design, we worked with the engineer to come up with some presentations that would give us some idea about what choices we had to soften the industrial appearance of these pump stations. So, we did what. I'll get to this in a minute, but just to give you some background, we've had several community meetings with the residents out there starting during preliminary design of the facilities and proceeding through towards more complete design.
And when you said we, who met?
We, the sewer utility, hosted meetings with the Manchester community, the residents who were going to be impacted by the facilities were in. Formed of a public meeting, and we've had several of them.
Several meaning more than three?
I think there have been three.
Okay. All right. So you got some idea of what the concerns might be.
Right. And we also were able to use those meetings as a way to bring some architectural finish choices and architectural finishes that we've been able to identify. So we solicited input from the community about what type of railings they would prefer looking at, and also what kind of concrete finishes were available to soften the appearance of the just slab of concrete that the pump station facilities rest on. So
how large are we talking here?
They're about the platform is, and this is a side view of it, and the platform is about 20 by 10 feet.
So when you say platform, how high? 20 by 10 by?
By, looks to be about, from ground surface, about 6 feet or so to the top of the railing.
Okay. And you're pointing to something we have on the screen in front of us.
Yeah. So
I'm not sure this is in our record. Do we have this in our record?
Yes. Yeah.
It is?
This is in the DARPA.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So this shows a little bit the towards the right of this drawing is the waterfront. So it's showing some shoreline stabilization pieces there, and then the to the left where the grassy area is shown is the upland area. So we were able to, again with input from the community and what their preferences were, to come up with something that's now going to look approximately like what's being shown here. There's going to be a patterned base that will be, from the outside, it will look kind of like a brick finish, or it won't just be a plain concrete wall. It will have a more interesting concrete finish. And then instead of having an ugly chain link fence, we were able to put in some nicer stainless steel railings to make that look a little bit more palatable also. The other things that we've done in addition to those two is...
Well, wait, before you move on, I'm having trouble finding this in the record I have in front of me. There's a lot of pages of material. I think I just came across it. I want to make sure I got the proper one. Is it this one sheet, is that correct? But there's this one design. So I have sheet 26 of 53. In exhibit 4, sheet 26 of 53 appears to be what you were showing me. Well, my question is whether there is more than one put forward, or this is the one that you have up on the screen that appears to be what you're moving forward with. Is there multiple designs, or you said this is the one?
Yeah, this is the basic design.
Okay. And it does look to me like it is the date of January 8th, 2016, sheet 26 of 53. And it appears to have on it the type of materials. Is this then what you're proposing, or is this what's been approved? Where are we in the design?
Yeah, we are all but complete. The design has been all but completed. We're about to advertise the project for bidders within the month.
Okay. And Mr. Clark, is this what you were able to review when you looked at? Yeah, right. Okay. So I've just asked Mr. Clark if he'd seen this, and he recalls that he has, and that's not objectionable to him, but that's not his right in immediate proximity. All right, so this is what you thought about with your project team.
Yeah, and there have been a couple other aspects that we have put some thought in addition to that, we, depending on the location, which of the three we're talking about, the other thing we've done is we will soften the appearance of the pump station with vegetation where we can. So on this is showing that we'll have a...
Now this, see, when you put something up on the screen like that, and because this is a public record that we need to refer to, this appears to be sheet 36 of 53. Is that correct? Do you know?
Yeah, I did not prepare the material for the staff report, so I'm not sure where that was put into the staff report.
This is all part of the jar.
Yeah, okay. That then is sheet 36. You see, it's a struggle sometimes for me to know how to refer this, because I can just say she put up on the screen something.
Okay.
She said that. So I need to refer to it in the record.
So it's...
And what does it show us?
Well, the title block refers to it as a pump station 47 elevation, so maybe that's helpful.
Uh-huh, that helps. And what is
okay, well, the point that I'm trying to make is that I'm in addition to the type of railings, the type of concrete form that we're using, we're also planting vegetation around the pump stations to also improve their appearance. So this is one schematic showing that. I have another one which is labeled.
Well, hold on before you move past that. Do you have your note? There's a note. What I see here for vegetation is an outline of a shrub. Is that it? And then a note that says plants in front of pump station are not shown for clarity. Is that so?
The final design of for all three pump station sites show in detail where the new plantings are going to be located. This was just for schematic. Purposes to give example for the JARPA material showing the kind of improvements that we'd be making without specifying exactly what was going to happen in a specific pump station. The final design drawings do have that information in it, and if I can remove this and show you the finished site plan for this site, that will show in more detail the final plantings that are being proposed.
Okay, we have that as part of the record, do we?
So this now is the final site plan for pump station 47, just to show you the title block. And this is an example of what the contractor will be bidding on. So at this point, now that we've gone through final design, each of the pump stations has a very specific planting plan associated with it. And in the project specifications, the contractor is going to be informed exactly what type of plants he's going to be putting in at each of the facilities.
Okay, now what is this sheet that you just put up? Does it have a sheet number?
33.
Okay. So 33.
But again, I'm not sure what that corresponds to in the staff report.
Well, this is part of your application to the Joint Aquatic Resource.
In the JARPA.
Yeah, but I just need to know where they are, exhibit. So this is an example. So this is 33. It looks like sheet 35 also is called a shoreline buffer plan. Pump station rehabilitation also shows the plantings. And 34. Is that your recollection? So you're offering this as part of this public record to show me exactly what would happen. This is what you said you're going to bid on. So this is not just an idea. This is actually what
correct.
You'd like to
yeah.
see implemented. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Did you have any other information you wanted to offer?
In addition to the planting, the concrete finishes, and the stainless steel railings, we are also, where we can, separating some of the equipment that's shown up on top of this pad, the electrical panel and the generator set. We're separating it onto another smaller platform where we were able to do that so that we could tuck it up against, depending on the geography, a hillside or hide it within some existing vegetation so that it's not so visible.
Mm-hmm.
So we made some, worked with each site, used it to the extent that we could to soften the appearance of the pump station.
Mm-hmm. And this is for components that are above the platform itself?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You tried to hide them? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, we separate, so we didn't have one monolithic slab, we broke it up into two, and in certain cases we're able to move it against existing vegetation so that it wasn't so central to the beach.
I see. Okay. So those areas that had mature vegetation, you could slide the pump station one way or the other to take advantage of that, not just plop it in the middle of the open beach. Okay. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to offer in testimony today?
I'd also like to say that we do try and work with the community, or just we try and do whatever we can to make some of our installations more aesthetically pleasing. However, we do have to keep in mind the fact that all these improvements cost more money, and we do have an obligation to our ratepayers to, in other words, we can't spend inordinate amounts of money at these particular sites and ask all of our ratepayers to shoulder those costs when it's really only benefiting a small handful of homeowners. So we do what we can. We talk to the homeowners. We are making quite a few improvements, but at some point we have to be able to balance what the improvements are with the effect on our overall ratepayers.
Is that true in this case? Did you see some mitigation measures that you thought you could implement, and then you said, no, the increased cost is not justified?
I think we, each time an improvement was suggested, we took a look at it and we looked at what the cost would be. I think we were satisfied when we made those improvements that we were going to be building something that we had improved upon as much as we could within a reasonable manner. I don't recall off the top of my head if we heard other suggestions that we dismissed out of hand.
Well, what about the manholes that we heard Mr. Clark refer to? I assume that's a bit of a round pipe or tubular area that has a metal lid on it, does it?
Yeah, and we are improving the existing manholes that are along the beach line.
How so?
In answering that question, I would just like to back up slightly and say that the motivation for this project is that the existing infrastructure out there, the pump stations which are on the beach currently, and the manholes and the beach line, are all dilapidated and failing, under capacity, and as far as the pump station goes, they're within the 100-year floodplain, which is no longer valid for new construction. So we are in a position where we need to, for the benefit of the beach environment and the homeowners, having to improve these facilities to prevent what would be probably the near term, just because of the sizing of them, more and more frequent failures and spills. So although we are making these improvements and now people are going to be looking at new installations, we are improving the overall sewer infrastructure out there.
Oh, no question. I don't think anybody's questioning that. Very good point that Mr. Peacock made in his staff analysis that you made in your submittals to JARPA and to the county. So there's no doubt about that. And if we strayed from that, thank you for reminding us, that is the primary reason for the project, is to replace failing facilities. So it's totally necessary. We're really down with Sarlof to some really fine details and fine points. And if you started by saying, yes, we were improving the manhole areas by...
Right. So we are going to be relining some or all of them to just improve the concrete, correct any deterioration of the existing concrete. And I think in a couple of cases, raising them above, they're pretty much a couple of places they're obscured by the sand, and we're raising them up to get them above tidal area elevation where they're going to flood during high tides. So there will be some of them will be elevated. I think believe they're all going to be relined with a more intact liner.
Mm-hmm.
The CIPP beach line, which Steve referred to, is actually stands for cured in place pipe. And the way it's done is instead of having to excavate from the surface and replace the pipe, they the company that performs this operation goes in through a manhole. They basically, with a mandrel, install a flexible liner into the pipeline that kind of rolls along the inside of the pipeline like unfurling a sock. They then insert steam into the system, and the material adheres to the inside of the existing pipe, forming a waterproof, in essence, an interior pipe.
What's the lifespan of that?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's at least 20 years, if not mm-hmm. more. 50? So it's okay. It's a way for us to be able to do what we need to do to improve that pipeline without having to do something environmentally invasive, which...
Mm-hmm. Has this been used elsewhere in the county?
Mm-hmm. In the county? I don't know that we have used it in the county, but it has been used widely.
I would think less costly, too, isn't it? Less costly than excavating and replacing?
Yeah, I believe in this instance it is less costly.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to add about the project you're proposing?
Nope, I believe everything else has been...
Okay, good. Well, thank you for being here today.
Okay,
thank you. Mr. Eacock, did you have any further comments on this application?
No, not at the time, really. Other than the, where did that design go here? You know, I think the public art aspect, you know, was one of the things that, that had been talked about. And I think really that they did a pretty good job of balancing this aspect of how the appearance of the project is. The manholes themselves do need to be elevated on some of the spots that they're too low.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a real concern if there was a high water wave while Public Works employees were down there doing maintenance. And it's really a severe safety concern to make sure that they are safe when they're in there. If a wave were to come in from, say, a small little tidal or a surge or something like a storm surge while people were down there, it would not be good. So so there's that public safety aspect, certainly, that we do need to analyze as part of the overall project. And mm-hmm. then
if that could be accomplished by an extension of the manhole at time work is done. You know, you could elevate it temporarily to avoid an over.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think there's a way to elevate temporarily in this particular case.
Okay.
They really need to be because of the sewage and the effluent and the way that the mm-hmm. pump stations work. They're basically pulling the effluent out of the transport line and then conveying it up to the sewage treatment plant. So it needs to be a sealed system.
Mm-hmm.
And so by adding temporarily, I don't know how they even permit that, to be honest.
Okay, so it's a serious safety concern.
It is.
And that's how you analyze
it. Yes.
The need for that raised elevation.
Yes. Yes.
One question I had for you was it seemed there's a federal marine fuel facility nearby.
Oh, right.
Was there any interaction with any Navy representatives on this? Any concerns?
They were notified, and I do not recall any correspondence at all with them. I'm not sure that perhaps the applicant had some correspondence.
Any correspondence with Navy representatives, federal government?
They would have definitely been in the mix on this particular project. We do notify the Navy relating any kind of public project aspect. Any and every notice goes to Navy personnel.
So there's also an Army Corps permit?
And there would be an Army Corps permit that goes with this as well.
Under what section? There's no fill, there's no excavation.
Yeah, it's just to be able to work in the zone below mean high tide.
Hmm.
Right. That's part of the JARPA review procedure, right?
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems then we have the information needed to make the decision and
yes.
move it through the process to the Department of Ecology. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Mr. Eacock, for your review and providing the exhibits necessary to find the facts necessary to support approval,
mm-hmm.
and that is your recommendation with the conditions that are in your staff report.
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Saroff, for being here on behalf of the applicant and basically attesting to the fact that you agree with the report and with the conditions as well that are recommended, and she nods assent. And Mr. Clark, thank you for bringing some creative ideas, and hopefully they will be implemented as proposed and mm-hmm. maybe even enhanced as the project moves forward.
You bet.
So with all of that, then we will close the record and issue a decision within 10 working days. We are now adjourned.